From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Ariana Bravo, and this is the Autosport Podcast. It's Saturday, 27th of March, and our first qualifying session of the season is done and dusted. Max Verstappen stole the show, taking pole position ahead of Lewis Hamilton. We had Charles Leclerc putting in a stunning lap to come in P4 for Ferrari. And AlphaTauri also showing us what they can do with that car, with Pierre Gasly finishing up fifth fastest. I'm Ariana Bravo, and today I am joined by Autosport's Grand Prix editor, Alex Kalinorkas. Now, Alex, that was exciting. After topping every practice session of the weekend, Max Verstappen has taken pole, and it feels like we have a real battle on our hands. What did you think of Verstappen's performance?
Hi, Ariana. Yeah, it was fantastic today. It really, really was. I mean, like I said to you a few nights ago when we recorded our handover episode, I was very, not pessimistic, but I was just very wary of the potential for Mercedes to come back out of nowhere and stun the Formula One field and maintain its advantage from obviously all the previous seasons. But yeah, I mean, what a great drive from Verstappen. There was a slight you know, negative aspect to it. He did make a mistake in Q1, damaged his car, but not seemingly not enough. Christian Horner reckoned that it cost him probably about 1/10 of a second in terms of each lap that he did after going over the curbs and damaging his floor. And obviously he's on pole by over 3/10 of a second. So, you know, he could have been even further ahead. But I think that just shows you how good that package is and how well suited Verstappen is to it. It was just a fantastic drive. And again, Sergio Perez out in Q2 in the other Red Bull. I mean, obviously he's at a new team. He's at a new car concept for him. So it's going to take a little while, but it really does again show what a good job Verstappen does.
Yeah, definitely. But Mercedes did look better than what we'd seen previously. They seemed like they had improved a little bit. But as you said, Max Verstappen was nearly 4/10 ahead of Lewis Hamilton. And Lewis Hamilton did say afterwards that he gave everything he had. So I know we've only had one qualifying session and we have a very long season ahead. But should Mercedes be worried?
Yeah, I think they should be. And I think that's already sort of reflected in the comments that they're making. I think both Toto Wolff and more boldly, more bluntly put, Lewis Hamilton, you know, coming out and saying, well, these changes to the rear floor rules have been done to slow us down. I mean Hamilton straight away says that in the press conference. You know, he's not holding back. I think he embraces the challenge. Part of me does wonder if it's potentially a little bit of a self-motivation tactic for him, because there are, you know, there's some amazing sports people that sort of, and I'm not saying this is what Lewis is doing, but, you know, it's just interesting to consider that they almost sort of invent problems to get angry about, and that brings out the best in them. I think, you know, Michael Jordan said he literally, even though he knew something was completely wrong, he still used it to motivate himself. Tom Brady in the NFL, you know, he's still annoyed by things that happened 20 years ago, and he uses that for motivation. So part of me does wonder whether that's Lewis just going, oh, right, they're against us, so therefore I'm going to drive even harder and be even faster. And maybe that's what he's doing. I mean it could be completely wrong. Maybe he's just saying, look, you know, this isn't, you know, he's just sort of expressing his frustration at the situation. But yeah, the problem is that if this happens, if, you know, if the situation continues to Imola and then on to Portimao, then Mercedes really are in trouble, because again, Hamilton sort of suggested it could just be track specific, in that, as we know, the Bahrain location, the venue there, is very susceptible to the winds blowing in off the sea, off the desert. And it is very, very tricky there. So it could be track specific. But time will obviously tell on that. But yeah, it's not something that they can really fix, because if it is the fact that, as Toto Wolff says, the high rate concept just isn't losing as much downforce with the new changes as the low rate concept is, Mercedes can't do anything about that, because that is their aero philosophy, and it's locked in until the rules massively change the start of next year.
That just means more chance of a battle this year, and I really hope that we get it. Whilst Verstappen did an amazing job, as you said, things weren't so great for Perez, who didn't make it out of Q2. I've seen all over social media, people are asking, you know, is it this curse on the second seat at Red Bull? Do you think people are just getting a bit carried away? Is it just teething problems for him? Or, you know, is that seat cursed?
I don't think that seat is cursed. But what I will say is that Perez, where he gets knocked out is that he's trying to do the hardest bit of qualifying. It's not as simple as saying he's not as fast as Max Verstappen, because they were both trying to get out of Q2 on the medium tyres, as the Mercedes cars did, as Pierre Gasly did, as Yuki Tsunoda didn't. So now, I mean, AlphaTauri gave Tsunoda the hardest job possible. You know, he finishes second in Q1. You're thinking, wow, this is truly incredible. They're like, okay, get through on the mediums. Well, it's just not quite as simple, because there is a massive, I think it's nearly a second a lap difference in terms of the tyre delta between the soft tyre and the medium tyre. So no wonder Perez and Tsunoda couldn't repeat their times from Q1. So yeah, it's not as simple as saying, oh, they just weren't fast enough. But, you know, I can sort of understand why that's happened, but it's just interesting that Perez obviously had a lap time deleted, which was slower than the one he ended up posting that got him knocked out. So, you know, he was able to do the lap legally and faster, but it did strike me as a little bit odd that Red Bull didn't just decide, well, actually, you know, it's his first go, let's just put him on the softs to make sure he gets through to Q3, even though that gives him the slightly worse tyre strategy, because at least he's then in play. He's then potentially starting further up the grid rather than, you know, really stuck in the midfield here. So, yeah, I don't think he's cursed. I just think he was unfortunate with the circumstances on the tyres and he simply didn't do a good enough job. But that's kind of understandable considering how hard we know that package is to drive. And because of the fact he's new to it.
Tsunoda got us all very hyped in Q1. And then, as you said, they put him onto the mediums for Q2 and he just couldn't quite make it work on them, which, yeah, as you said, very hard task to give him on the first qualifying session that he has. But Gasly was looking impressive. What did you make of AlphaTauri package today? What are you thinking about the car?
Yeah, it just shows that, again, they have fundamentally produced a very sound, very drivable, very good package. Also, I think it says a lot about the Honda power unit. Both teams, both Red Bull, both AlphaTauri, towards the front of the grid. You know, they have gone well here in the past. As Toro Rosso, Gasly, you know, with the I think it was the very first season they ran the Honda power back in, what, 2018. So, yeah, you know, he obviously does hook up well here. But nevertheless, they've obviously made a big step. And that is something that Verstappen highlighted in the press conference. You know, he says it's not just the fact that we've got a high rate concept on this car. The Honda engine is significantly better as well. So I think Gasly and Tsunoda benefiting from that. But Gasly maybe just has that slight edge on experience in terms of getting the best out of what we know are still very peaky, very tricky tyres. To get through on the mediums, which is really difficult. It's tremendously impressive that he did that. He, you know, he's starting behind Charles Leclerc, who also did a fantastic job for Ferrari, but he's got the best strategy, and it is going to be much better. You know, we saw that in the long run times, the averages in FP2, is that those cars starting on the mediums, that's the best strategy. So yeah, that's why they tried it. McLaren tried it as well. It didn't work for them, so they put them on the softs, but they got them through. And maybe that's what Red Bull should have done with Perez.
The strategy choices tomorrow are going to be interesting. I'm really curious to see where Gasly ends up, given that he is one of the few starting on the mediums tomorrow. Let's talk about Charles Leclerc though. He came in P4, amazing, amazing lap, just behind Bottas. What did you think?
I think what was particularly impressive about this, well, first of all, it just shows you that the Ferrari package is better than it was last year.
Yeah.
You know? Because everybody else, because obviously he was what, fourth on the grid for the Sakhir Grand Prix, but you know, everybody else has made steps as well. It's not like you're just comparing the 2020 Ferrari to the 2021 Ferrari. But what was particularly impressive about Leclerc today was that all throughout qualifying and sort of FP3 and what we saw, it just seemed like Carlos Sainz had suddenly found a little edge, a little unexpected edge on raw pace of being in front of Leclerc. And yet when it came to the lap that really mattered and Leclerc only had one go at it in Q3, he absolutely nailed it. Once again, just utterly showing his class.
Do you think that we're going to see Ferrari doing better throughout this year then? Obviously last year was quite painful to watch. Do you think that they're set for a stronger year?
I've got to give the classic, oh, it's too early to tell, for definite answer. But what I will say is that, you know, this Bahrain layout is still a power circuit. You know, it's still a real significant factor. That's the reason why Leclerc nearly won here in 2019, because, you know, the Ferrari engine made the difference there. on that day. So they obviously have made an improvement. And I think it's really significant to read into what other teams are saying of Ferrari. And I was speaking to Dave Robson, who's essentially chief engineer at Williams. I think it's head of vehicle performance, is his official title. He was saying, you know, the works Ferrari team really, really do seem to have taken a very, very big step over the winter. And a significant part of that, we know, will be down to their new power units. That does bode well for them over the course of the season. If they're performing well in Bahrain, they should be, theoretically, performing well at other places as well.
Moving on a bit further down the field, yesterday on the podcast, we discussed Alpine and Aston Martin and the fact that they weren't too impressive from what we were seeing so far. But today, impressive show from Alonso, making it into Q3. What did you think of that? Did that take you by surprise?
Well, I actually asked Fernando that in his media session after qualifying, and he gave us a slightly strange answer, and it was like sort of like, oh no, it's not a surprise, but also we didn't expect to be here, which obviously two are completely opposite ways of looking at it. But I think what his point was, and this doesn't bode well for either Alpine or Aston Martin, which had a lot of other problems we'll get onto with Sebastian Vettel, is the fact that Perez and Tsunoda both knocked out because they were trying to get through on the mediums. If that hadn't been a factor, I think they both would have been ahead. And I think neither Alonso or Stroll would have made it into Q3. And that's really quite alarming for both teams because, we didn't really know where they stood in testing. I think Alpine looked better than they appear to be, at least this weekend. And I think based on what we saw last season, Aston Martin looks a lot worse than we were expecting. So obviously they were, you know, so badly hit by reliability, it was almost impossible to tell. But now they're coming out saying as the low rate cars, which they are, you know, one of the two now because they decided to take the Mercedes concept, which worked wonderfully last year as the pink Mercedes. But it's costing that package a second a lap, if you know, to have the low rate concept because of the floor changes. So that does appear, as Alonso said, because you know, I think the same applies to both teams, it's going to be a real struggle all year, at least based on today's showing, to actually even make it into Q3. And you know, I think both Esteban Ocon and Sebastian Vettel were very unlucky with the yellow flags from the Haas spinning at turn one. They're gonna leave themselves open to that because their packages don't seem to be all that wonderful.
Yeah, and what did you make of Vettel's performance today? Obviously, that was really disappointing. And as he said, it was due to the spin of Mazepin. But as a whole, what did you think of him in the car?
We know the track would have been evolving. It would have been being cleaned up with the sort of the sand on the surface from earlier on in Q1. It wasn't a fair fight. He never had the chance to do, a proper lap right at the end with his rivals. So maybe he could have got a bit closer to Lance Stroll. So I don't think we can condemn him too harshly for being knocked out in Q1 because of the circumstances. It just doesn't look great in terms of sort of optics based on, you know, what performances he was putting in last season. But I think if one were to assume, oh, this is just more signs that Vettel's lost it, that he's not going to, you know, he hasn't rediscovered his best form at Aston Martin. I don't think that's accurate because of the yellow flags. And it wasn't just the Haas. There was Carlos Sainz as well. When he'd hit the curbs and his car cut out, I think he basically thought his qualifying was over at that point. And Vettel also had to slow for him as well. So yeah, it's not, I don't think he's the 18th fastest driver in Formula One. Let's put it that way.
So last couple of things to discuss. Further down the field, what did you make of the newbies' outings? Mazepin, Schumacher, we've touched on Tsunoda already.
Yeah, I think basically pretty much where we expected them to be. Tsunoda, obviously, stunningly fast in Q1. I was going to say shockingly fast. But maybe stunningly is the better word in Q1. Tremendous, finished second. And then, yeah, like I said, they gave him a really hard task. Which I think just shows in what high regard they hold him. They obviously thought he could do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, it just didn't come off. You know, you do win some, you lose some. That is going to happen with rookie drivers. And the other two, that the Haas drivers, I mean, Mazepin had an awful session. I mean, you know, I don't think that car's probably particularly easy to handle. At the best
They've
of times.
Got a tough task on their hands,
they
to
do.
Be fair.
They do. But obviously Mick Schumacher kept it in much more of a straight line. So, you know, he mm-hmm. earns points for that Mazepin just can't have. But it's the extra dynamic for the rookies, which is what, again, I think just highlights how good Tsunoda is and how good a package AlphaTauri has produced. is that these windy, sandy conditions are a real challenge for everybody, even the best, even Lewis Hamilton, even Max Verstappen are talking about the wind, talking about how difficult it is. So, yeah, I do have a lot of sympathy for those rookies, but I think, yeah, they basically ended up where they would have been, even if conditions had been absolutely calm and perfect. And, you know, they were going around Barcelona, which is like almost a Formula One laboratory venue.
How are you thinking things will unfold across the whole field? Are you thinking Verstappen is going to take the win? Are you thinking that there may be some interesting battles further down? Give me some of your predictions. Put it out there.
Okay. I think, well, based on what we saw in the long runs and the averages on Friday, it was fascinating. Verstappen and Hamilton are absolutely neck and neck, or they were yesterday. So that's always the caveat, is that, you know, the stuff we see in practice only applies to practice. But based on that, and based on, well, Hamilton was sort of suggesting that he thinks Red Bull's got a couple of tenths in hand, and it did seem as though that Verstappen started his long run in a higher engine mode and then it got turned down, which obviously he won't be able to do for the race tomorrow. It's just the one engine mode between qualifying and the race. So yeah, I think if he can stay ahead at the first corner, it would not shock me if Verstappen wins this race from pole. I think just the fact that the package looks more secure means he'll be sliding less. And with the Mercedes behind, you know, in the dirty air, they're going to be sliding even more on top of their already not ideally handling car. And yeah, so that I wouldn't shock me if the top three ended up as Verstappen, Hamilton, Bottas. But I think perhaps Charles Leclerc might not finish fourth. I think maybe he'll go backwards a couple of spots. But yeah, I mean, okay. I'm really intrigued to see what Perez and Tsunoda do, because I think they're very out of position. And this is a track where you can overtake. And it's also a track where there tends to be safety cars, there tends to be incidents. So I'm hoping for an exciting race. And I'm hoping the fact that, you know, even if it does end up being Verstappen, Hamilton, Bottas, I think that there's enough of a shake-up in the established pecking order that still makes it interesting, rather than just, they finished in the same order that they started. I also don't necessarily think you can count out Mercedes. I think, yeah, Hamilton says we're two tenths behind, but, you know, they're a tremendous race team. So, yeah, let's see what they can do. You know, they've not been in this position before. This is finally what Lewis Hamilton says he wants. He says he wants wheel-to-wheel scraps, yeah, and a big battle. Well, let's see what happens. I'm really intrigued to see how it goes.
And like you said, Lewis said he wants a battle, so give us a battle. We all want to see it. And I'm very curious, just to see further, just throughout the whole field, how things unfold. Alpine, Aston Martin, all of it. I just want to see everyone going for it tomorrow and see how it actually ends up playing out. But that is all for our podcast today. Before we go, here's what you can see right now on Autosport Plus. We've just been chatting and you can see Alex Kalinauskas analysing the data and asking if this year is Red Bull's best chance to beat Mercedes. Stuart Codling writes about why it's make or break for the rookies. The shortest preseason in F1 history will have done little to settle the nerves for Yuki Tsunoda, Nikita Mazepin and Mick Schumacher. And Jonathan Noble has a piece on the latest appointment at Williams and how it shows that they are on a mission to preserve the team's family feel. New subscribers who sign up today can use the promo code PODCAST during checkout to save 50% off their first payment. Go to autosport.com/plus, click sign in at the top of the page, use that promo code PODCAST and grab that 50% discount. Thank you again for listening today, and we'll be back with our extended post-race analysis tomorrow.